That's what the church is. It's a body of people coming together, mixing their talents to make one body. Are you with me? Now you go to Romans. Listen to what it says in Romans. This is really cool. It says in Romans, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." Amen. It's just like your body. Your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears. They all are part of what body? One body. Amen. But they all do different things. Amen. The church is the same way. Listen, we have many members, and you look around and you see all the members, but all the members do not have the same function. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we, us being many, are one body in Christ. How many? And individually members of one another. Imagine that. You start to look at each other like a member of your own body. You can't look at them the same way. You can't have that same feeling. And then it says this, really, listen, this is great. 12:6 Romans. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." Where do our gifts come from? Where do our talents come from? God. The Bible says, gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If you have a gift of prophecy, if somebody has a gift to prophesy, then let him do that according to his faith. It says, or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. And it says, he who teaches in teaching. He exhorts. So you're going to have people in the church who exhort you, who get you excited. Let them do that in exhortation. And then he said, this is interesting too. He who gives with liberality. So the Bible is saying there's going to be more people who have been the grace and given to given, to give to the church. Amen. It's their calling. He who gives with liberality. Then it says, he who leads with diligence. And he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You see, the Bible, isn't it funny? The Bible tells the church how to become a body. Amen. The Bible tells the church how to be strong in him. The Bible tells us how to make this a unit. We all have different talents and all have different gifts. And if you look at me to do a gift that you have that I don't, I'm going to fail in that. Amen. If I look at you to do something that you're not called to do, you're going to fail. I'm going to fail. And guess what, Sergio? The church is going to fail. But if we use all the talents that we have and recognize that each of us have a different gift from God, and we use them without looking at somebody else, what they're not doing, then all of a sudden the body's stronger. Amen. Well, all of a sudden we're stronger as a unit. We come together and we're stronger for God. When people come in the church, they will see a unit. They will see so many different people, yet everybody doing the same thing for God, for the church. You're all not called to go outside and plant trees, but thank God we have Art and Glass. They're called to go out and they planted everything out in the garden, and in Joseph and Mary with the flower. I mean, we could pick out people. I'm just letting you know that there's things happening in our church that none of us knew were going to happen that week, but somebody had it in their heart to do it for the body. They didn't do it for them. They did it for us. Amen. And then they did it unto God. When you drive by the church and you say, that's my church, nobody can take that away from you. Amen. Because we're working as a unit with God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says praise God. The Bible says when we are weakest, he is strongest. That means when we get out of his way, he can do more in our lives. When we are weakest, when we don't try to help God, when we don't try to get in the way, he can do more for us because we allow him to. If you admit I can't do something, you give it to God, say, Lord, I need help here. Then he says, good, I can help you. When you are the weakest, that's what the Bible says. When we feel like giving up, and I've seen it so many times, people want to give up. You give in. I said, don't. If you had a church that said, I refuse to give up. Amen. I want to receive more from God. I know that if I give up, I'm going to fall back. I know that if I give up, I'm not going to cross that fire. I'm not going to cross that wall. I'm not going to get that victory that I'm so desiring. Amen. Are you with me? Imagine how powerful a church would be if all believers thought like that, obedient to God. Now, I want to be honest with you. That's what you want from me. I was in a church for 15 years, and there were many times, half a dozen, but that I felt like I wanted to leave. They didn't notice me. They didn't use my talent. They didn't use my guitar. I had to talk with God. I had to go home because this, my flesh, was telling me, you need to leave. You know, they're not treating you right. They're not doing this right. Why are they saying that? And my flesh was saying, well, somebody else will appreciate me more. Or somebody else. And I fought that. I did. I fought that. And I'm thankful that I fought that. Do you understand? That I fought that and won the battle. I'm thankful that I am who I am today because I fought those battles. And let me tell you something else. I was alone. But I think that being alone was a blessing for me. You see, because when people love you, Sergio, when they love you and something has come against you, they're going to say, I don't believe they did that to you. I can't believe they, and see, all of a sudden, then you get fed that whole energy to want to do something else. But because I was alone, and when you're married or when you have, it's hard to be alone, but when you're alone, then you talk to God, say, Lord, I need your help. I want to be stronger. I want more. So to me, giving up was giving in. I would have lost again. I would have ended up back where I was searching again for everything that I had gained. I would lose to have to start all over again, see? But I believe that God wants to use each of us greatly. But the way that he can only do that is we need to trust him completely. You need to give in to him completely for him to use you greatly. Amen. There's going to be times, even in this church, where you're going to feel like, well, maybe I want... But you see, that's the devil saying. That's the devil saying that you need to do. Because if there's something you want to do here, do it. Amen. If there's some way that we can make the church stronger, let's do it together. Amen. Don't be, well, I want to go to another church. There's more people and I might get to do more. No, that's not building a church. That's walking into somewhere else and getting mixed up in something else and starting all over again. Amen. But I think that the church, the bride, is pure to him together. Hallelujah. He wants to use us. He needs to know that he can trust us. So every day you have to say, do I follow self or do I follow God? Because you can do great things right here. Amen. This church is so open to greatness, so open to people coming in here and being stronger with God and being stronger in their lives. This is a place where you're not going to get lost. Amen. Some of these churches that are closing down, I praise God, I feel bad for the people who got there, who thought that they were being led, who thought that they had, and all of a sudden one day they said, well, we're closing up. So why? Why are you closing the church? And they have to answer that. I don't have the answer for that. But I'm saying that there's so much out there. There's so much noise. There's so much anxiety. There's so much of every other thing except the Word of God being preached. Amen? You know how many people we get at a Bible study? Of course you do, because most of you come. You know how amazing that is to get 20 people on a Tuesday night Bible study? You see where the church is going? It's getting stronger. Things are changing here. That's why people want to come. That's why we want them to come. Because we're going to feed them. Guess what? The Word of God. It's going to change their lives. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. Amen? Change your life. Not to come and what time is it and who's singing and how many people in the band. Because we could fill the church up. If you wanted people, I can bring 25 musicians here next week. I saw them the other night, Friday night. I'd have banjo players and guitar players and we'd be singing and we'd be doing bluegrass. And then I'd look at the clock and say, well, it's 25 minutes to 12. We haven't done the offering yet. And we haven't done the testimonies yet. And so I'll come up and I'll read it. Let me see. And here's the scripture. Here's your sermon for today. For I say, though grace given to me to everyone among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Have a great day in the Lord. I refuse to do that. I want you to receive what I'm receiving. Deacon Gary wants you to receive what he receives and gives you at the Bible study. Because we want your life to change. We don't want you to quit. We don't want you. Don't look at Deacon Gary for but listen to what he says. Don't look at me, but listen to what I say. I know you love me. I do, and I know we do. But understand, it's the Word of God that changes us. Amen. So these churches need to get back to the Word of God. They need to get back to get rid of the tradition, get rid of the noise, get rid of it's beautiful. I get it. But when you get all that and you never get fed, then what do you have? Amen? It's this that I think that makes us stronger. I think the unity that I feel, the strength that I feel, makes me encouraged to see more, to do more, to feed you. Amen? Because you're family, and I'm family. How happy are you to see Flo here today? Amen? How many people, you go to some churches, they don't even know your name? David, I heard Cindy tell me that many times. She didn't know anybody 3 seats over, 2 feet in front of her. She went to that church for years. Amen? For years. And didn't know the people. Well, of course, then you don't have a body. Amen? There's no body. But you look around here, and what a beautiful day. I am humbled today. Thank you. Thank you for everybody here today. God bless you. I hope you receive. But it's a learning curve. If you bend to the Bible study, Deacon Gary's changing it again. A little bit, you change it. You know why? It's a learning curve. He started out with an idea, and you know what the pastor did? Allowed him to do what he wanted to do. Allowed what God was leading him to do. Let me tell you, that's the delegating and letting go is a trust. And he started out and he said, well, maybe this won't work. But he didn't have to come to me and say, well, what do you... He said he knew. Because he had his hand and he's taking care of that. He's able to change it in a way that he can still lead it. Amen? And so he's working. And it's the same thing here. It's the same thing upstairs on Sunday. I got to get you to a point where you have to tell your friends to come on Sunday. I have to get to a point where you have to tell your family. You got to come and hear Pastor Larry preach on Sunday. Because he's feeding us the Word of God. And things are happening in Second Congregational that the whole town would never believe. Amen? Would never believe possible that somebody would come in this church. It's possible right now. Amen? I'm going to give you hope. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate on it day and night and do all that is written within. Then I shall have good success. Then I shall have prosper in Jesus' name. Pastor Larry said that. We said it every Sunday. He said, I'm paraphrasing the Bible. And everybody got up. And let me tell you, here's where it landed. Amen? Last week I did that, and I'm going to do it every week. Would you stand up, please? Church, stand up. Repeat after me, paraphrasing. Thanks be to God, who gives me the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I shall be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Jesus' name, be seated and give him praise. We're going to say that every week until you don't need to hear me say it, you say it with me. And you know what that is? Scripture inside of you. You're going to be what you said it, steadfast. Amen? Can you be steadfast? Steadfast isn't lukewarm. Amen? Steadfast isn't, no, it's steadfast. And the next word, I love it, in the Bible, immovable. How many are going to be that way? Amen. Hallelujah. President Bush, good to see you, Father Bush. I love him. Praise God. Thanks be to God who gives us what? Hallelujah. It never comes from a man. It comes from God. Amen. Again, can I have another 5 minutes? Thank you. Praise God. Ecclesiastes is a book in the Bible. Anybody know that book? It was written by Solomon. Sometimes you understand you have to understand the words. Ecclesiastes is Greek, literally means preacher. That's what the word means. Translated from Hebrew, it means a member of an assembly. Okay? Ecclesia, would be E-K-K-L-E-S-I-A, is the political assembly of citizens of an ancient Greek state. So, Ecclesiastes, the book that sounds like a crazy name, simply means preacher. And who wrote it? Solomon. And who was Solomon? The man who had the most wisdom of anybody. The man who asked God for wisdom, right? He had the greatest of what? Wealth. Solomon had he had everything in life. You just think of that one second. There was nothing he could not have. What could he have? Everything. He had it all. He had hundreds of wives. What was he thinking? Oh, no, you don't. That's a trick question, right? Thank you, Gene. Solomon had everything. You think of whatever you're sitting there today worried about for Monday you want, you could have it. Solomon had it all. But then he wrote this book, and it sounded like a man who was in torment. It sounded like a man who realized that nothing without God was worth anything. Solomon called it vanities. No other word. Jesus never used that word, but Solomon used that word. Vanities. He talked about it didn't bring him peace. He could have everything he wanted, but guess what he didn't have? Peace. The joy. He didn't have he struggled. Imagine, to find satisfaction, and those daily struggles led him to write this book. He's writing it to you. Who's he writing it to? You. To understand what you're going to go through as a Christian. To understand what you're going to go through in life. So how many knows that life happens? Amen? Well, so I would tell you that the simple yet powerful lesson is meant to bring us to a place of peace, joy, and contentment in our lives. Now, we all know that, and we say it, but do you know that peace does not come from material things? Amen? And joy doesn't come from indulging in every desire. How many know you don't get joy from that? You don't get peace. So all of that, as he would say right here, right in the start of Ecclesiastes, vanity of all vanity, says the preacher. Vanity of all vanity is, guess what? Vanity. It says, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes on and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. That sounds kind of like down, amen? But he's saying that all of that is without God. Whatever you do in your life without God is meaningless. It's vanity, amen? He's telling us that. Now, contentment comes from simply enjoying the journey, amen? That's where you find your greatest contentment. And listen to what Paul said. He said this in Philippians. Paul said, to be content in whatever state I am in, everywhere and in all things I have learned to be full and to be hungry. And then he says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is telling you to enjoy life. Learn how to be poor. Learn how to be rich. Learn how to be in a season of blessings and in a season of need. He's saying find how to be content in that, and you find the secret to life. Because with God, you can get through anything. Amen. With God, all things are possible. With God, he said, I can do all things through Christ who, guess what, strengthens me. Amen. So we go back to Solomon, and he wrote with conviction. This man who had everything. There was nothing under the sun he could not have except contentment because of all he had. Amen? He worried about losing things. When you have a lot of things, you start worrying about losing them. Who's going to steal this? These people that have 3 houses, they have to worry all day long. Is somebody breaking into my house in California or in France? You see, the troubles continue to come. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Solomon. You have a choice. To live with God or not. Human knowledge without God or the wisdom that comes from God, he says it's vanity. It's empty. That's what it means. And how many know that evil is all around us? Amen? It said the more you see it through the eyes of man, the more impossible everything appears. When you look at your life through your own lens, you're going to think this is hard. It's impossible. It causes stress in a marriage. It causes stress in your heart. It causes all kinds of bad things. But when you see things through God's eyes, I say, you know, Lord, you've been with me right to this day, 2017. So I can look and say, been there, done that. Have I had trouble before? Yeah. Car trouble? Yeah. Worried about money? Yeah. Have I? But I've always had you, and you've always carried me through. Hallelujah. And it just, the secret of life. Hallelujah. He says, then I hated all my labor in which I toiled under the sun. That's what he just, without God, that's what he was saying. Solomon said this, I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. But surely, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it's madness, and of mirth. What does it accomplish? He said, I searched in my heart how to gratify my flesh with wine while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold of on folly until I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under the heaven all the days of their life. Solomon said, I made my great works. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in the grove. I acquired male and female servants. I had the servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold, and the special treasures of kings in all the provinces. I acquired male and female singers. I acquired, we could do that right here. Let me tell you, those guys Friday night, I could fill this place. I acquired male and female singers, the delights of the son of men, and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem, and also my wisdom remained with me. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. This was my reward for all my labor. Hallelujah. All that he did, if he did it without God, it would be empty. Amen. He said, I love this, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. This was my reward for my labor. And he goes on to say this, I know that nothing is better for them to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man who should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor, it is the gift of God. And he says, I know that whatever God does, it shall be forever. What a beautiful thing. Hallelujah. Then he goes on to say, let me move on, there's so much. He says it again right here. Let me read this again. Solomon now telling you, here is what I have seen. It is good and fitting for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor in which he toils under the sun all the days of his life which God gives him, for it is his heritage. He is saying to do, to enjoy life, good to eat and to drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. If you're a farmer eating the product, if you're whatever you're building, whatever you're selling, all the good that you get from that labor, whatever you produce, it is good to enjoy that. It said, in which you toil under the sun all the days of your life which God gives him, for it is your heritage. He's saying it's good for us to do that. And as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, to receive his heritage and rejoice in his labor, it said this, this is the gift of God. Amen? For he will not dwell unduly on the days of his life. Because God, listen to this beautiful line right here, because God keeps him busy with the joys of his heart. When you talk to God and you give God your heart and you become a servant of him, and when you love him and delight yourself in him, it says he will keep you busy with the joys of your heart. You won't have time to be idle. Amen? You won't have time to complain. Amen? You won't have time to have gloom and despair. You won't have time to talk about your friends. You won't have time to talk about your enemies. You won't have time to gossip. Why? Because the Bible says he will keep you busy with the joys of your heart. Isn't it greater to do what you love than to talk about somebody else? Isn't it greater to have love and to give love than to be angry at the world? Isn't it greater to receive what God has for you and share it with everybody and rejoice and enjoy the day than to be mad and to be carrying that burden of worrying about tomorrow? Isn't it greater? That's God's way. When we live, we want to know how to live. Just it says right there, this is the gift of God, to enjoy, to eat, to drink and enjoy. Hallelujah. With God. So beautiful. He says that human knowledge is wonderful. When you read all these books, there's millions of books, and you gather all that. That's all great. The wisdom is all great, but it doesn't move you anywhere. It's all vanity. Whatever you learn is all. But when you learn it from God, when you become a servant of God, when you become somebody who loves God, you start to talk about who? To people. God. You start to talk to your children about who? God. Who's talking to your children about God? Nobody. They go to college, they're going to hear about God? I don't think so. They go to school, they're going to hear about God? I don't think so. Who's responsible? You. But when you talk to him about God, or your daughter about God, right? You have to talk to them with knowledge and wisdom, amen? You have to talk to them with joy and understanding, because they're going to ask you questions. So you give them the answers that God loves you. God wants to help you. All are welcome in God's house. God has peace. There's more with God. God will open doors. You will find favor with God, amen? You give them this message. You give them the message of hope. And then you read Solomon's words and say, you know what? I got to stop worrying about tomorrow. This is the day. I want to rejoice. I want to do something different today. I want to have fun today. I want to enjoy the fruits of my labor. You are able to come here today, so you have a lot to be thankful for. Amen? So don't do the same thing. Go do something, like I told you last week. Go have ice cream somewhere. Go and do something different today than you were planning on, amen, so that you can laugh about it. Say, I didn't think we were going to do this. Go down to the shore and look at the ocean, amen. Go to a movie. Go somewhere that you didn't expect, and let that joy, let that something new start to fill you, amen. Call somebody today that you haven't talked to and tell them about God. Say, you know, I really love you. And they might be confused because you haven't said it in a while. Say, well, I need to tell you that I love you, because it'll make your heart happy. It'll make your heart full. And when that heart gets full, you start to heal. Amen. You start to be stronger. Are you with me? Evil is all around. The more you see it through your own eyes, the more impossible. When you look in the mirror in your own eyes at your situation, the impossible is just right there. Everything in front of you says you can't. Everything in front of you says you won't. Everything in front of you says it won't happen. But when you look in that mirror and you see somebody who loves God looking back at you, and you see the Spirit of God inside, you start to think, you know what, Larry? All things are possible. Might not be today, but all things are possible. And with God, my future is secure. My future is secure. When I look in the mirror and I see, we then find what Solomon searched for. Solomon was searching for what we have. We have that peace, joy, and contentment. And I will close with this little gem. When you think about everything that Solomon had, and you say, realize that he could have everything in the world that he wanted. Anything that he wanted. You, Second Congregational, have something he didn't have. You have something that he didn't have. Solomon, that's right, Marcia. Solomon had everything. But listen to what it says in John 16:24. Jesus said, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. You have Jesus. I just got goosebumps. You have Jesus. You have more than Solomon could have ever hoped for. You have hope today that he didn't understand. You have a name above all names. You have somebody in the name of Jesus that loves you beyond your own imagination. You have somebody who says, call on me, lean on me, trust in me, delight yourself in me. Solomon didn't have that. Hallelujah. So can I ask you to stand one more time? Hallelujah, and repeat after me. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord, knowing that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Victory, celebration, live your life. Enjoy this day. Enjoy it in Jesus' name. Give him praise, church. Thank you. One church, one body. When one of us falls short, we all lift each other up and we listen to one another. Amen. A while ago, I had talked to my brothers and sisters, and I talked to we talked about that they would like me to wear black, and I did, because that was the desire, and it was beautiful. And I said, we're going to sing more out of the book, and maybe some gospel songs, and I'm hearing you sing, Lord. And see, so if we listen and we hold each other and lift each other, amen, good things happen in the body, amen. We had people who did things in the yard this week, not for them, for us, for the church, amen. We all have a calling. We all have things to do. We all have things that we can make the body whole. That's why this makes the church strong. It's not the church and all the other things. It's what we do as a body. Amen. We're all happy to see Flo today back. I know it makes us happy. We're all praying for Elder Pat and Tom. They're in Tennessee for 3 weeks. We'll keep them in prayer. Amen. Because that's what we do. And when they come back, amen, we'll pray with them and we'll rejoice with them. You see, that's why the church is not the building. It's the people inside and what we do. Hallelujah.
My granddaughter, she came up right now today.
Yes.
Very sick in the hospital. She had to have her 6 inches of cut.
Her granddaughter is going in for surgery on Tuesday. Her granddaughter. Now imagine if it was your granddaughter, how you would be feeling. She's here today to hear God's word and to be with her family. That's what church is all about. Knowing each other is what it's all about. Going to a church for 10 years and not knowing the people sitting in front of you isn't a family, isn't a unit. It's going somewhere because you think you have to. Hearing the word of God changes you. Today, I hope you hear Solomon say. Solomon says, just do, enjoy. Enjoy, eat, drink, and have a good day with the Lord. Share the word of God with somebody. Say God bless you to somebody. Bring somebody to this church. Call people you haven't talked to. Give them love. Give them the greatest gift of all. Why not start at the top, amen? And then make the church your home. And you'll see changes in your life that you didn't. Stop looking at somebody else. Look inside yourself. Look in the mirror and say, I want to fix that person. And while you're working on that, guess what? So many other wonderful things will happen. That's why you come to church. Amen. Hallelujah. Give him praise, church. Father, forgive us for the iniquities of this week. Forgive us for anything, any thoughts we had, or, Lord, that anything that would have separated us from, let's just keep us, Lord, pure. We just ask you for that forgiveness as we receive the sacrament, as we do the Lord's Supper in this church. We ask, Lord, that we be in the right place to receive. Now, remember, brothers and sisters, there are some gluten-free crackers here. We want you to be healthy and strong. So we thank you. If you need one, to go ahead and take it. If not, leave it for those in need of it. We want to make sure that everybody's taken care of. Jesus took that bread and he blessed and broke it, saying, this is my body being ripped and torn for you. And he simply asked us to do this in remembrance of him. We shall in this church be obedient. Because we know it's not the bread that we eat, it's what we're doing in our heart and spirit that matters.
deacon. Praise the Lord. It's what we do in remembrance, lifting Jesus up in this church. He asked us to do this in remembrance of him. We shall in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, as we do this in remembrance of him. The lamb that was slain, the blood that he shed for our sins. When he poured the wine into a cup, said, "This is my blood being shed for you." They didn't understand, but today you do. And he simply asked that we do this in remembrance of him. Thank you, Father. I would tell you to be daring. Believe. Just believe, believe, believe. With all faith, that there's nothing too little you can do for your church, for your family, for your friends. Everything matters. Nothing. One call, one God bless you, one I love you changes the world. Trust God with that. Plant the seeds. Don't be afraid. Plant the seeds. Your three beautiful people came to see us today from Southbury, and we just am so humbled, and we're so happy that they chose to be with us today. Make sure to greet them as we do and thank them. When Father looks down from heaven, he sees you covered in the blood. He sees that you love his Son, our Savior Jesus. Because you accepted him into your heart, God sees that glow. Because of what he did for us, and because we accept that, in Jesus' name. Can you give him praise, church? I dare you to be bold. My mother took me to St. Mary's Church. They spoke in Latin, so I got nothing out of the church itself. Nothing out of, I didn't know the name of the priest, I didn't know what they were saying, but she planted a seed inside of me about God. So I'd say, tell you today, call somebody you haven't called. Give God a chance. Do something extraordinary in trusting God. Call somebody and say, you know, we really come to church. Be with our family. Hear the word. See how God can change your life. Be bold enough to trust God with that. Amen. You just plant the seed. You don't have to water. You don't have to do. You plant the seed. Do what my mother did with me. Amen.